Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Welcome to Listen to Older Voices. I'm Rob Greaves, and it's my pleasure to host this third and final program in the life and times of baby boomer Peter Roussos. Son of Cypriot parents, Peter was born in Australia and lived most of his formative years in Carlton, where he developed strong family and community values. Peter carved out a good working career as a professional drummer during the 1960s and 70s, but he branched out managing hotels, including the amazing Station Hotel in its heydays during the 1970s. Peter not only managed, he bought hotels, renovating and setting them up as amazing venues. It was during this period that he drew upon his self-taught cooking skills and became very successful as a chef. This week, Peter shares how hotel ownership and management became a total drain on time and energies, so he pulled out to spend more time with his family. But as we'll learn, he ends up opening Cipriano, a restaurant in Ormond that became an absolute runaway success, so much so that he opened up Cipriano too. There's so much to his story, it's better that we leave it to Peter to tell. So here's Peter talking about the good and bad of running a hotel and producing good food.
But it was one of these times where it's like, you know, it's the first person that goes into a venue, they spend all their money, they, you know, I mean, we were busy, we were, right? But it's like now it's an iconic venue now. Yeah. And when I tell people, oh, you know, well, I was the first guy that restored it, did it all up, and I've gone back there and it's not changed much at all from when I
done it. Well, why would it have, yeah. Running a hotel like that, what are the good things about it? What can you recall when you look back that was really good about being involved like that? What did you get out of it?
I'm very, just as passionate as I am about music as I'm passionate about food.
So it was the ability to be able to produce good food.
So my idea when I got back, when I saw the venue and I think about, I was trying to marry up music, food, ambiance. So, you know, I was turned it into like a boutique wine pub and I had good wines and the food was great. It was always in the Age Epicurean, Age Good Food Guide. So I was trying to marry up the foodie and the music side of it. You know, it was successful. It was great. I had one of the, you know, I think it was probably one of the first venues, pubs that you could go in and, you know, in the public bar, I had one of those old cappuccino machines with the arms and you pull them down. So, no one was doing that in those days. And I had boutique wines from the Yarra Valley. I was, maybe a little bit ahead of its time, but it worked. It was great. But then, like I said, when my wife felt pregnant, I said, well, I'm not going to have a baby.
Something a little bit more.
Yeah, so we ended up selling it. And
so what would have been the most difficult thing in running a hotel like that for you? What was it that caused most angst or pain? Because it couldn't have all been just great moments.
Oh, no, I tell you, I've had great moments working in hotels. You've either got to like it or... the good thing about it is you meet so many, a diversity of people.
What about the time commitment? Does it demand a lot of your time?
Oh, it does. It does. Look, Rob, I'm 65 now, two marriages. I have two sons from two different wives. It's because of the being involved in the restaurant industry, the long hours, the hotel. You've either got to love it or you don't do it, you know. And I'm one of those type of guys that I love work. I'm not retiring. I've owned 14 restaurants. I sat down, I was...
let's talk a little bit about that. You suddenly got a child on the way and you go, okay, I've got to get out of the hotel business.
Yep.
What do you give into that's stable and provides for your family?
Well, I believe it or not, we ended up getting out of the hotel and moving back to Mount Waverley because my parents were in Glen Waverley. My wife, Leonie's parents were in Mount Waverley, and we were just bringing up our son. But once again, I got into cooking. You know, I ended up was working at Rosati's in the city. Now, I don't know if you remember Rosati's, but it was, in its day, was unbelievable. It was the first ever 500-seater restaurant in Flinders Lane, and it was like walking in there. It was so noisy. It was like walking into an Italian railway station. they brought all these Italian tilists over from Italy to do all the tile work. It was Ronnie D'Estasio and Piero Gisweldi. That was their brainchild. And a chef friend of mine, Danny Popper, that I work with at Gordon Place, said to me, "You've got to come and be a chef here." And I said to him, "No, mate, I've got a child and I want to spend time and and he kept pursuing me and he said, "Look," I said, "I'd only come there if I only worked during the day, no night work." And he said, "Yep, you can be the lunch head chef." So I did that. So I'd work during the day and then I could spend time with my family and that. And did that for a while. And then once you own a restaurant or you own a business, you're the captain. You're the controller.
Yes.
You can
yes.
You either make good decisions, bad decisions, but it all rests with you. And I've always been one of these guys, you know, that's what I thrive on. And one night the night shift didn't turn up. The head chef from the night, he rang in sick. So Danny said, "Do you mind staying back?" And I rang my wife and told him, and she said, yeah, that's okay. And so anyway, there was one of the girls who, in Colada is where they do all the salads, the desserts.
Okay. Yep.
She was a really nice girl, Kate, and I got on really well with her. And we'd finished working. I said, "Look, I'll drop you off home." And she goes, oh, you don't have to do that. And I said, no, look, you know, it's... I said, "I don't mind, it's just a slight diversion, I'll drop you off." So I dropped her off and she lived at Point Ormond on the corner of Glen Huntley Road and the Beach Road there. And there was this shop and I saw this "To Let" sign on it. And I said, "Is this where you live?" She goes, yeah. And I said, "Well, you've got a "To Let" sign." And she goes, "Oh, look, I was going to open up a restaurant with this other chef, but he's pulled out. So we're not doing it. So I'm moving out." I said, "You're kidding." And then my brain started ticking away and I said, "This is a gold mine, great location, right?" And I said to her, "Do you mind if I give the landlord a ring?" And she goes, "No, I don't mind." So I rang him up and negotiated and he said, "Oh, I could have it. So I had to go back and try and convince my wife.
I was going to say, how did this fit into this thing of nighttime work?
And she said, no, you're not going to. I said, "Oh, all right." So... I used to have Sundays off, so we jumped in the car with my young son, Brad, and he was only about 18 months old then or something, and I intentionally drove past it, and I said, "Oh, have a look at that place there." I said, "What a gold mine, look at the location." And she looked at it and she said, "Yeah, it is a great location." And I said, "Oh, guess what, I got it." And she supported me. I ended up, she said, "How are we going to do it?" And I said, "Well, I've got a great idea." And I said, "What I'll do is I'll ask the night chef at Rosati's to come in as a partner and the pastry chef. So we'll all take it in turns in working and you can run it during the day and but there'll be one of us there, but we'll all still keep our jobs and until it takes off." And she agreed to it, and so we did it. And then Darren Sadler, the night chef manager, said, "No, I'm going back to," he was going back to New South Wales. And then the pastry chef, Andrea Montesi, says, "I'm going back to Italy." And so I said, So anyway, we got it off and running, and a couple of other people heard about it. I had a young apprentice goes, I'll buy into it. And I said, "But you're only a young kid." I said, "What do you know?" You know, he goes, no, I've got some money in. So anyway, we did it. We got it off and running and it took off.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices.
Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time. Turning back time.
I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Peter Roussos, and Peter is recollecting the work that went into opening up his restaurants.
It just took off.
What do they say about be careful what you wish for?
Rob, it took off. And I ended up leaving Rosati's and working there full time, and no one else would work it. And I'd ask, the young kid. I said, "Come on, you're my apprentice. Come and work." No. He'd rather spend time over the road playing with his kites and that. So I said, "No, this can't go." And I said, "I'm turning away people, this and that." So I went up the road and saw the bank manager, and I said to him, "Look, I want to buy my two partners out. They only had us $8,000 each in it, involved in it. And I want to renovate and knock the wall down and make it bigger." And he had a look at the figures. He goes, your trading's been good from the time you've opened and that. This is like about 6 months worth of... He goes, "Come back after 12 months of trading and we'll look at it." And I said, "No, you're kidding, aren't you?" I said, "I can't believe this." I said, "I've been with the bank, you guys, for years." And anyway, I was a bit annoyed and went back to the restaurant, and we opened that night and we were working. We used to do lunch and dinner 7 days a week. Anyway, Mike Brady used to frequent us, right? So, and I knew Mike, and because Mike lived around the corner in Elwood, and we were sitting there having a chat after closing time, having a glass of red, and I told him what was going on, and he goes, "Oh, go and talk to my bank manager." He said, "He's a lovely guy. He's looking for new business. I'll tell him you're coming and I'm sure he'll be able to help you out." So we rang up. Yep, no worries. We know who you are. Come up and see us up in Glen Huntly Road. Went up there. "How much do you want?" I said, $70,000. "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm going to pay my other two partners out. I'm going to renovate it and do this and do that and do this." And it was funny. It was sort of, he said, "Yep, you got the money." And I said, "You're kidding." He goes, No. He goes, "These are your repayments." We sort of, all right.
It happened so quickly.
Yeah. And anyway, he goes, "Look, think about it. The money's there. Come back tomorrow morning and we can open up the account and get the ball rolling." And get back to the restaurant that night. And Mike came in and was having dinner there. And he said, "How'd you go?" I said, "Oh, David was fantastic. Great. He was absolutely fantastic." I said, "The only thing is, I just don't like owing money to the banks." I said, we didn't get burnt, but we overcapitalized when we had the Napier Hotel because, we touched this and that would fall down. So we ended up totally rewiring. And I just said to him as a thing, I said, "Would you be interested in coming in as a partner?" And he goes, "Me?" He said, "What can I do?" He said, I can't wait or anything." I said, "No, I don't want you waiting. Just keep coming in." And he was associated with Channel 7. And so he used to come in with Jennifer Kite and a few of the celebrities from Channel 7 there.
I'm sure it doesn't hurt.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he goes, "Oh, how much?" And I said, "Oh, $70,000. And he goes, "Yep, no worries." He just said, "Yep." And he turned up the next day with a check and he goes, "Don't worry, we'll do the paperwork later." Right? And we closed the cafe down. We renovated it. We did it all in a week. We knocked down walls.
Wow.
We
That's quick.
Oh, we did it all in a week, and we were already booked out for the Saturday that we were opening.
Wow.
And so we got off and running, and Mike became a partner, and it was great. And he used to bring the celebrities in, and we had a great. It was busy, and every Friday night, we used to stay back and have a talk about how the week was and where we're going next week with Mike. And as a joke, I said to him, "I said, mate, I hate knocking back 50, 60 people. I said, we should open up another one." And he goes, "Let's do it." I said, "No, mate, I'm only joking." He goes, "No, let's do it." So he said, "Start looking." So I started looking around in the area because I called it Cafe Cipriani. Bob Starkey used to live in Elwood. Jake Camilleri, they were all used to come there. So, it was, and I used to get all the other restaurateurs used to come there as well. And it was a casual eating place, but it had a nice buzz about it, right? And I was looking up in Point Ormond and I didn't see anything up there. And then someone mentioned to me that one of my regular couples that come in there, they've got a cafe in Ackland Street. and they've not been doing too well and they want to get out. And so I said, oh, that's interesting. And anyway, they came in for dinner because they used to come in once a week. So I'd finished cooking in the kitchen. I went out there and I had a chat to them and I said, oh, how are you going? But I said, I believe you guys are looking at selling up. And they said, yeah, yeah, we are. We, you know, I knew they weren't doing too well. If I could have been a bastard, I could have screwed them and, you know, because they were about to be closed down anyway. And I said, how much do you want? And they said, oh, $65,000. I said, look, all right, I'll come down and have a look tomorrow. So I told Mike, I said, look, I'm going to have a look at a place. And he goes, yeah, yeah, go for it. And I went down and everything was there. All the equipment was there. Everything was there. We wouldn't have had to spend a lot of money. So I came back and I said, look, I'll give you 60 and I'll give it to you in 7 days. And they accepted it. So, you know, if I wanted to be mean, you could have said, look,
sure,
half
sure.
That. But I'm not that type of person. I like to go to bed at night knowing I've done nothing wrong by anyone. Anyway, we ended up getting it. And we ended up changing it. We put all the equipment, because the kitchen was out the front. We put it all the back. We called it Cipriani 2, because it was Cafe Cipriani 1 up in Elwood and Chip 2 down there. Same menu, same pricing, same food. So I was running from one to the other, staffed it up. Same thing, packed every night. Every night. Both of them were just pumping. And Mike and I, he was happy. We were, you know, we were both going well. And Mike said to me, he said, look, you know, why don't you and Leonie go and have a break? He said, you guys have been working really hard. And, you know, I'll keep an eye on the restaurants, you know, while you're away. Go and have a week off. And so we went to Townsville. And I'd never been to Townsville before and fell in love with it. And I said, oh, mate, Queensland, this is where we should be. And I used to get the guys from the restaurant used to ring me every night telling me what was going on. And, oh, such and such is trying to get a booking and we booked it. I said, I don't care. Fit them in wherever you can. They're good regulars. And I was telling them how good Queensland was. And when we got back, Sam Kaufman, who used to manage the front of house for us in Elwood, goes, I'll buy the restaurant. I hear you want to go to Townsville to live. I said, no, I'm only Jay. No, me and my boyfriend, we'll buy the restaurants. I said, Sam, we're not interested in selling. He goes, no, me and, I've forgotten his name, we'll buy the restaurants, right? He was a manager at Figgins Diorama and Sam used to run Elwood, the floor for us. And so I plucked a stupid figure out of the air at $565,000. And he goes, all right, let me think about it, right? And he came back with, we'll give you $500,000, which was a lot of money in those days. That was like $1 million plus, right? And I sort of said, oh, all right, let me think about it. So I had to talk to Mike, and Mike said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, mate, if they're prepared to pay. And so I said, look, I'll tell you what, if you give us $500,000, right? We had $43,000 worth of leasing, right? Because that's how we ended up buying the, getting the other one. And we ended up going to Westpac and with David looking after us. You take over the $43,000 worth of leasing and pay for all the stock and the place is yours. Because if they would have paid us the $565,000, we would have paid out. So it worked out. And they agreed to do it.
Oh, she's laughing.
Yeah. So after 14 months in there, we did it.
Life has not been slow, has it?
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices, promoting positive aging.
Rob, I've had a very interesting life where it's always been involved in music or food. Like I said, I've always kept my finger. I enjoy getting up and having a play with friends. And just recently, someone said, you're either crazy or you're a keen musician, because I've got friends that live in Noosa, and I lived in Noosa and I had a restaurant there and I played in a band with a couple of guys there. And they rang me up and said, oh, we're having a party on the weekend. Do you want to come up and play? And I says, oh, all right. So I asked Sandra, my partner, and she said, look, yep. And I just bought a new DW drum kit. And I said, I'm going to drive up. So I just threw the drums in the back, drove 2,300 kilometres, got up and played for 4 hours, packed the drums up the next day and drove back.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah,
so. Our time is almost up and we've covered a lot of ground, but we can't cover your whole life in, you know, an hour or so. When we were younger, we would look at people who are our age now, 65 upwards, and think they're old people. And old people didn't do things. When you were old, you stopped. You became vegetables. Not the case, is it?
No, no.
Life really only just really kicks on in a whole new way.
When we grew up, when I was a little kid growing up in Carlton, at the back of us, in the back lane there, there was Mr. Tom and Miss Margaret, and they were an elderly couple that lived there, and they were like our adopted grandparents, yes. But they were so lively and they were old, and they were Australian couple, and I remember as a little kid, you know, Mum and Dad would let us go with them, and we'd go down, jump on the tram, and go down to the beach with them, and they also, when I was a little kid, I was introduced to black pudding, you know, the black sausage with the black
pudding sauce.
You know, it was like. And so, you know, and they were, they were really nice people. Look, you know, same as my dad. My dad's 87 and he ended up selling and Glen Waverley and moving to Mildura. He's got a farm and he's still doing it.
So, okay, you're 65, short of that bus down the road accidentally hitting you. You've got at least another 25 years of life left. That's a lot of life. What do you see in the future for Peter?
Well, I'm about to go on a new excursion, believe it or not. When you drove in, I don't know if you noticed, there's a restaurant up the front here. It's called the Bluestone Kitchen. Well, I originally set it up for the original owner. So I'm doing the full circle. I was there, got it off and running, and ended up leaving amicably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only reason is because he'd never owned a restaurant before, and he was just there's structure in everything, whether it's music, a restaurant, hotel, there are structures, and he didn't know structures, and it annoyed me. And I said, "Look, I've got you to a stage where you're off and running now. I'm leaving." Well, since then, it's gone through a couple of owners, so another person has just bought it, and I'm very honoured that Samir. The original person told the new people going in that I'm the best chef that he's ever seen or thing. So they've made me a fantastic offer.
One you can't refuse.
One that I can't refuse. Only one because I love the place as well. It's a really nice setup. So I'm starting there in the next couple of weeks. So I've been working on menus and getting things organised for the kitchen. So. Yeah, so that's starting in a couple of weeks.
So the future looks bright.
Look, I'm not stopping. I'm not slowing down. I'm happy to keep cooking, and I just once again, like I said, having restaurants, I've had a lot of celebrities, a lot of people, you know, and it's always good to get through people's stomach. People appreciate good food, and that's great. And that all comes back from my European background of my parents teaching me about layers and flavours, and that's carried me through every venue. I sat down yesterday and wrote all the restaurants and cafes and venues that I've had, not that I've worked at, and it's been 15 venues.
That's a lot.
And then my oldest son, who's also a chef. I caught up with him a while back and he goes to me, "Dad, you know, I got into numerology." And he goes, I've worked at all the restaurants that you've owned and all the restaurants that you've worked in, because he's been in all these restaurants with me from a little kid. And he goes, I've worked out that you've cooked over 1 million main courses. And I stopped and I thought about it. And I thought, my God, he's right. It's, you know, that's just main courses. That's not entrees or desserts. And I said to him, geez, only if I had a dollar for each one of those main courses, you know. But look, you know, I've had a very interesting life. I would not change one part of it. I've made money, lost money. You know, as long as you don't dwell on it.
You've embraced the experience.
Yes, great experience. And once again, it's when I was younger, not rebellious to my dad, but it was like my dad was like, oh, what do you know? What do you know? You know, he's always giving me advice. Now I appreciate, my dad and I, we get on so well, and I go, my God, only if I'd listened to him, you know, like his advice.
What's the old saying? You can't put a wise head on your shoulders.
No, yeah, so, yeah.
Peter, it's been a delight sitting here talking with you, and I think you've not only informed but entertained everybody who's listening, I think we would all wish you all the best in your new venture. And for Melbourne people that are going, let's see how good a cookie is he, how good a chef is he, what's the name of the new restaurant?
It's called Bluestone Cafe Restaurant and Functions. It's in Epping Road in Wollert. It's an old, it's the original farmhouse of the estate here, but now it's, as you've seen, it's all housing here, but they've kept it's heritage listed, and they've built a kitchen and toilets and facilities beside it, and it's a really, really nice
setup. So there you go. If you're listening and you're in and around Melbourne, come and have an experience with Peter. Peter, thank you very much for being on the program.
It's a pleasure. Really enjoyed it.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.